Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Gentlemen, how fucking good is a roast Trinity?
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
First one of 2024.
Fucking huge result for us.
Footy's back.
Footy's back.
Hey, Sean, do you love footy again?
I'm warming up.
Reports of the death of footy have been greatly exaggerated.
I'll tell you, what brought me almost as much happiness as watching Brisbane win at the MCG was the return of the Edge.
Oh, so Thursday exciting. And Friday night magic. It was fucking on.
We got to watch, you got, basically, Sean, you got three of your favourite things in the space of 3 days.
Yeah.
Four.
Okay.
One, Brisbane won.
Yeah.
Two, a friend who was celebrating a birthday on the weekend got a birthday treat on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In Joel.
Yep.
Two.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Return of the Edge.
Yes.
And then your fourth favourite thing, Bevo dying on live television.
Bevo is on life support.
Did you see they brought it up in, I can't remember if it was Volcano or What Caught My Eye on the Sunday Footy Show, but Kane was just like, played the clip of his explanation of what's happening.
I think it was Volcano.
And Kane was just like, basically, for lack of a better word, what the fuck is this cunt even saying?
Yeah. I need a translator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was Volcano. Yeah.
He's talking about the past, the present, the future. Which one is it? We don't know. Bevo. Sometimes he's been mysterious and it's been like, ooh, Bevo.
Bevo's cooking.
What's going on over there? And sometimes it's just like, Bevo's fucked.
Here's the thing. He's not cooking, boys. He's cooked.
Mm.
I love it. Cut his head off.
David King said on SEN, he was like, Bevo won't be lost to the game. Like, imagine what Bevo could do with, say, like a Brisbane or something. Don't you dare put those words out into the universe, Kingy laptop motherfucker.
There's been some bad words that have been put out. Look, you know what? Let's just, before we get to the games, let's keep things positive. Just want to give a shout out to a listener, Jacob, who barracks for GWS, who a couple of weeks ago sent us an AFL record. From round 5, 2004.
Oh.
And it feels appropriate to bring it up because this is round 5, 2024.
20 years. That record, boys, in the words of, in the misspelled and mispronounced and misquoted words of Anton Chigurh, that record's been waiting 20 years to get here. Call it.
I appreciate that. That's good work by Tom.
I'm cooking too. Yeah. Where's my hat?
Yeah. So I've just opened randomly. There's an insight into Sydney in the middle, as in a deep dive. The club corner is focused on Sydney.
Yep. The city or the team?
The team. Sydney.
Did I see a large quote that said 80% of people have the blood in their lifeline or something?
No, that's an ad for the donating blood.
Okay.
80% of people who see this will need blood in their lifetime.
Donate blood if you can.
There's a profile on Adam Goods. This is accurate for 2004 at least, but his favorite three pizza toppings, apart from cheese and tomato, barbecue chicken, pineapple, capsicum.
I rate all of them.
I rate them too.
So that means, Adam Goods, your favorite pizza is a barbecue chicken pizza, but with you're adding capsicum.
I'm going to give that a go.
I'm going to give that a crack. Thanks, Adam. Hey, he's retired from the game, but he's still giving us good stuff.
I'd most like to join.
Yep.
This is 2004.
Yeah, okay.
Adam Goods from fucking nowhere. Just remember, 2004.
Okay, yep.
Is it an Aussie band?
No.
Okay.
They're massive still.
Oh, okay.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it Foo Fighters?
No.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Coldplay.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That would have been a relative.
No, they were
popping off then.
This is pre-Fix You.
Nah. Is it?
Yes.
Wouldn't this be
X and Y is 2006.
Yeah, so this would be Russia Blood to the Head.
Yeah.
So they've had Parachutes and Russia Blood to the Head.
Yeah, so you've got the
Russia
Scientist.
Russia Blood to the Head is a big fucking album.
Yeah, the Scientist, Yellow, those songs are out. Fix You's not, though. Sean, Adam Goods' biggest pet peeve?
Yep.
People who don't have a go.
Oh!
This is a...
I love this profile.
That's good.
What the fuck? His favorite video game is Abe's Odyssey.
That is incredible. Adam Goods, knowing in my heart that like one of the greatest players to ever play the game, to unwind after a game, likes to sit down and play a little alien that farts and recruits other aliens.
Okay, I'm just going to fire off the last four questions Adam Goods was... Because this is like...
This is Melrose level of stuff we're getting
here.
Oh,
yeah.
So, I'll fire off four. I've just hit the Abe's Odyssey one, but his mobile phone ringtone is a single beep.
Good.
His favorite karaoke song is American Pie, but he does a duet with Shea Cockatoo Collins.
That's so good.
His favorite cartoon character is Chef from South Park, and his favorite TV show is Malcolm in the Middle.
Okay.
Adam Goods, what the fuck?
I love that.
That's crazy. And thank you to Jacob for sending this in.
If it's goods enough for him, it's goods enough for me. So what was the game? Is that Sydney took on Melbourne? Is that the game from the record by the looks of it?
Yeah, Sydney take on Melbourne.
And it's, can we say the record is signed?
No, it's not signed.
Something written on the front?
Oh, wait, it is signed.
Who's it signed by?
What is it? Wait, is that signed by?
This is signed by Jacob.
Who is that signed by?
The D.
Let's have a look.
Well, because on the cover,
yeah,
James Heard and
Tarkin Lockyer, or is that Scott or Buckley?
It might be Buckley, but that's not their signatures.
No. It's D somebody. So is it someone from that game, like the Sydney?
It's A. It's A someone. A M.
And then D someone, right?
Yeah. Who would be AM?
Andrew McLeod?
My favorite player. My favorite non-Lions player of all time.
It does look a bit McLeod-y because it looks like Andrew McLeod.
It could be.
Hang on.
Is there a way to check? If you go to his Wikipedia, it might have his signature.
Is that a D. Neitz?
David Neitz. That'd make sense.
Could be David Neitz.
Hang on. Let's find this out.
I reckon that's David Neitz. I reckon that's A. McLeod. 100%.
What a get.
Oh, that's awesome. Can we also, okay, just while we're doing this, I would like to talk about the thing you didn't talk about this record, which is maybe my favorite part of it,
okay,
which is a little pop-up ad for Big Brother starting on Channel 10.
Yeah, that is not David Neitz's signature.
Okay, no. Damn.
But let's try.
I reckon that's Andrew McLeod. There's an ad here for Powerade in the front that says, before the match, AFL players are encouraged to hit the bottle. And a picture of
can
Powerade.
You show me the signature on the front again, please?
I reckon that's Andrew McLeod.
No, it's not.
Damn.
It would be Sydney, because this came from Sydney.
Was there an email accompanying this? Surely
there was, yes.
In the email. Was it not in the email?
It's not mentioned in the email.
Really? Oh, is it at home with, is it Tycanelli maybe? No.
We'll get to the bottom of this one
Richmond
day.
Richmond Young Gun, Aaron Fiora.
It probably is a Sydney player, right?
Well, yeah, because this is from Sydney.
Why don't I just go to the record and see who was playing on Sydney's in that game for Sydney?
Well, while we do that.
Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. Have we popped out? There's the footy record for kids, which has got Kuda and Matthew Primus on the front with leadership tips from the top, apparently.
I haven't pulled the record apart yet, Tom.
That could be some good coaching advice in there.
Yeah. We'll get to that
you know
later.
Who I wish it was? I wish it was my favourite Melbourne player.
Who?
Clint Bizzle.
Oh, the Clint.
Love that man.
The Bizmaster. All right. Thursday night, Sean.
Joel.
Melbourne took on Brisbane Lions, and everyone for some fucked reason tipped Melbourne, even though, Sean, if Brisbane stood for anything, they would stand up for this game.
Hang on, Joel. You said everyone for some reason tipped Melbourne. Show of hands in the room. Who tipped Melbourne in this room?
Show of hands in an audio format. Great job, Tom. All three of us.
Tip Melbourne.
Sorry, did you say tip Melbourne?
I said we didn't tip Melbourne.
Oh, fuck no.
No, we tipped Brisbane, baby.
Sorry, Tom. Didn't even listen to you.
No, that's all right. I also tipped Brisbane because, yeah, it was like, to me, I was like, Melbourne, as we know.
Bad team.
Bad team.
Yes.
No, I think they'd, it was very good. Watching the game, like the pregame stuff, Joey yes. Montagna, I think either the night before or before the game in part of his like first crack or pregame, whatever, said that he didn't think the Demons were going as well as everybody thought. And I agreed with him. And so when he said that, he's like, you've crystallized the thought that I had, which is basically they should have lost to Port Adelaide. They weren't super convincing in the win against Adelaide. And the wins they've had, like the main convincing win they had was against the Hawks.
And they smashed Western Bulldogs, but we'll get to that later.
Because the Bulldogs are a shit team.
Yeah, I think Melbourne are a bad team. However, I returned to the MCG, the scene of the crime.
I didn't know you were going. You kept that very secret.
Yeah, it's very
quiet. Did you even know if you were going?
Did you decide on the day?
I committed to going prior to that, but mm-hmm. yeah, I probably did decide on the day.
Yeah. Yep. Did you go with the good brother Daniel?
I went with the good brother Daniel, and we were both, the vibe was not high.
No.
We were both
seen the crime.
We literally turned to each other just before the first bounce and said, I wonder which Brisbane is going to show up tonight. Is it the good Brisbane team, or is it the team that hates the MCG and hates making me happy?
It was the good Brisbane team,
and
Sean.
The omens were not good early.
No.
Because good brother Daniel got shat on by birds.
Oh. hang on. Plural.
Got hit three times.
Jesus!
No one else in the area got hit.
Can I say something, Sean? Mm. You know what's actually a good omen?
Getting shat on?
Mm-hmm. A bird shitting on you is good luck.
Well, now it is.
No. Traditionally, it's good luck. Yeah.
Bird shitting on you is good luck.
Oh,
yeah.
I took it as a bad omen.
No. If you get shit on by a bird, that's good luck.
Well, the birds can shit all over me next time. Like we shat all over Melbourne for basically 3.5 quarters until it was, you know, foot off the pedal
junk
type
time.
Stuff. Great performance. That's, I think, the best I've seen Brisbane play at the MCG.
Yeah. Cam Reno
for a really
went
long time.
Fucking bananas.
He went atomic, didn't he?
Yeah.
He needs to do that every week.
He's been
that's
threatening to do that for weeks too.
Get him in the middle. I think I brought this up a few weeks ago. Either commit to him being a forward or commit to him as a mid.
Yeah.
And I think based on what we saw, commit to the mid. Put him in the mid. He's a point of difference. He's so strong. You can't tackle him.
He's so fast.
He's
too.
Just a beast. He's explosive. And I love it. Dunkley was huge. Lockie Neal was good. He's got a bit of an ankle issue. Game 250, people hung around and got behind him. It was just a good vibe at the ground.
Can I give you a 250 stat, Sean?
Please.
Did you see this stat came up during the coverage? You might not have seen it at the
Did
ground.
Not see it, no.
So Lockie Neal in milestone games, 50th, 1, yep. 100th, 1, 150th, 1, 200th, 1, 250th, 1.
I'd love it if he could pack 50 more games into this year before the grand final.
Yeah.
Play game 300.
It's a good omen.
I think we can fudge the books and make that happen. Cameron back in form.
Yep.
Kicked 3, I think. He was feisty, maybe a little too feisty. He's been suspended. They are going to appeal.
Are they going to appeal?
At the time of recording, he is suspended. Maybe they'll get off. Brisbane rarely appeal because they don't have money.
He should appeal because I was shocked he got suspended.
It had a lot of lever putting Mayo on it, I think.
But also lever has a free arm, and that someone last year didn't get suspended because the player they tackled did have a free arm.
I don't think they look back into the past, though, for these things anymore. It's kind of just like, who gives a shit? Any week is different now. Anything can happen. What was so fucking good to watch at the start of this game is the first four goals Brisbane kicked were all on Stephen May.
Yeah.
Hipwood got them. Danaher got one or two, I think. Maybe those.
Sean, the first four goals were 2 to Hipwood, 2 to Danaher.
Yeah. And Stephen May was like doing a little switcheroo playing on both of them, and they were all conceded by him. He looked fucked. Lever was shit. I love when Lever sucks against Brisbane. You can see the gears turning in his brain like they're all about to snap in half and he's about to fucking explode. Petrarca, I didn't know what happened, but I saw him take down Zorko. We didn't get a free kick for it. It was fucking weird. It was like off the ball and he was dragging him to the ground and fighting him. So Zorko got inside his head, which I just think is great. Petrarca.
He cooked the cook.
Yeah. Brisbane tried like this different strategy with Petrarca where like normally he likes to start in the middle and then float forward. So what Brisbane would do is pick whoever was on the wing to go with him and man up on him.
Yeah.
And it limited him big time.
It really did. Shit.
Oliver was pretty crap. Gawn was huge, but also, I don't know. Big O did okay, I thought.
Well,
Gawn's just kind of like no one else was coming to the party with him. Brisbane were just absolutely on. I haven't seen, apart from like conceding, I think, 4 goals at the end of the game.
But it didn't matter at that point.
It was very complete performance.
Yeah.
It was just fucking good to see.
Some good defensive work too from like Starcevic and Answorth and guys like that. And Payne played really well too.
Yeah, Payne was good. Gardner, I actually really liked him in the forward role.
Played a nice defensive, aggressive forward role.
Aggressive is the key. He was bringing it to ground. And we just got more energy from the smaller guys. Like Charlie Cameron was actually back in form this week and it just creates a different dynamic.
Lohmann, fucking hell.
Lohmann, for the early stages of the game, I was watching him and like, I'd need him to do more. And then he fucking did. Then he needs confidence.
He needs
that extended run.
Yeah, he needs to play the whole game.
So he's building. I don't think we used the sub in
you
the
didn't.
End.
This is the first game I've paid attention to. Like, first game of like being like, no sub activation.
Yeah, I thought they would have subbed Lachie Neal, but it's 250, I guess.
Didn't need it, I guess.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, I was just really happy. It was good to see.
Should have given a sub to Melbourne. Be like, hey, you had an injury early.
Do you want another one? He can play for you.
He can swap jumpers for one night. It's just great, like watching Charlie Cameron kick a goal and the crowd singing Country Roads. It's just – the vibes were good. I could sense that people were – there was a fair bit of healing from that Brisbane crowd.
Yeah.
Because for most of them, it's probably the first time back at that ground.
Yeah, well, since the grand final.
Since the darkest day in history.
It probably helps the psychological hoodoo thing that you've won your first game at the G.
Yeah.
So the hoodoo's – like the hoodoo's gone.
Yeah. Even Jared Waitley made a good comment today where he said – this whole like MCG hoodoo for Brisbane is kind of like, I can't remember what he said. I think he said it's just a statistical lag.
Yeah.
Because basically it's taking on the baggage of nearly 10 years, I think.
Yeah, when you
were
bad.
If you look at the most recent period, there's the narrow grand final defeat. There's the game where they were obliterating Melbourne and then choked and lost by like a point. The final where they beat Melbourne. Now this game where they've won again, like it's, it's better in recent times.
Yeah.
It used to be a thing of like Brisbane's game plan is non-existent and they just can't play or win on the MCG. Yep. And now it's – they're actually – when they go there, they're playing well and now maybe cashing in on some wins. So it's
– also not enough data. You play there like twice a year.
This is true. Yeah.
Like that's why it's
how
like –
How many more G games do you have?
Two?
Oh, if that maybe.
Maybe what, Collingwood and then maybe a Richmond or a Hawthorne?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't looked too far ahead because I just know that I assume it's barely any.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good. It's good to get the win and it's good to be able to believe again. But because of the bad start, still on a knife's edge. So still got to, you know, and three now.
Got to bank some wins now.
Got to get 3-3. Hopefully. Well, basically, you can just get it back to even and then just knuckle down, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, if you get it back to even. Or even if you go like ahead of it, if you get to round 8 and you're like 5-3 or even 4-4, you're good.
Yeah.
In round 11, you're playing at Marvel.
Bulldogs.
Hawthorn
at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. But we do have the Bulldogs soon at Marvel. That might be sooner than that, I think. At least I thought it was.
No, that's round 13. So you're playing in 11.
You'll definitely have
13.
Collingwood at the G at some
round point. Round 13 against the Bulldogs, that's pretty good because that's we're in coach kill territory there, I reckon.
Yeah. And it's week after your bye as well, so travelling's not too bad then.
Mm. Anyway, signs are looking good for Brisbane.
Trying to find your next game of the MCG. Not...
It'll be Collingwood.
Yeah. You must only be there again once more.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of games. You're playing St. Kilda at Marvel as well.
Hawthorn at Marvel's really weird. Well, we got back-to-back Marvel games. Oh, there's a bye in between there.
Yeah.
Gabba, Adelaide Oval, Gabba.
So round 23, you play Collingwood. At the MCG, and then round 24, Essendon are playing you at the Gabba.
Yeah, so two MCG games.
And one's not till round 23.
And
it's
you
pretty
got
fucked.
Three Marvel games in between.
That's psycho.
Yeah.
Was the promise 6 Melbourne games originally?
Yeah, in the contract, yeah.
And now it's pretty consistently 5, right?
It's generally 5. Some years it's been 4 plus a Ballarat.
Do you have Geelong in Geelong?
4 plus Geelong. Not sure on that.
I think we've only got you once, and it's Gabba, yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of killing a coach, Joel.
The quest has begun.
It's looking a little. You're looking a little sharp in those colours, mate. It's like you got a bit of an edge to you.
The Essendon edge has cut Bevo's head off and maybe his dick.
This is the thing about the edge. You've got to keep it sharp, otherwise it will dull, but it'll always come back sharper.
You're right. It's just like a nice kitchen blade.
You got to work on it.
The knife doesn't do all the work. You've got to maintain it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a bit dull and you've got to put it through the sharpener.
And it looks like maybe the secret to the Essendon edge is Sam Durham, who missed the Port game and was hugely influential in the Bulldogs-Bombers game.
Yeah, he said, hey, even though I'm a pretty new player, Marcus Bontempelli, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
No ball for you. Or a bit of ball for you, but not enough to do shit with
He's also bigger than I thought. Sam Durham in my head feels like he's a smaller midfielder. He's actually quite got a bit of size about him.
I am thinking of him as a small man.
But he, when he was standing next to Bont, he wasn't.
He's 185 centimeters. Yeah, so he's like, he's pushing 6'1".
Yeah. So he's like a reasonable, like I thought he was like a Tom Atkins build, you know, or a Libba build. But he's probably, you know, he's good.
I tell you what, a lot of good boys in the Essendon team.
Hey, speaking of good boys, can I ask where we stand? We love Kyle Langford on this show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Langford?
Funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
I am, of course, talking about burning Jake Stringer.
And Stringer after the game being like, no, I was fine with it. And whoever was interviewing him just laughed and was like, really? And he's like, oh, he is a bit cheeky.
Stringer was 1-4, got a free kick. Langford grabbed it in the goal square. Umpire was like, yeah, play on. Stringer ran ahead and was calling for the handball. Langford just turned around and casually dribbled it through for a goal.
I liked
if,
it.
If I'm
cheeky.
Jake Stringer, just put your foot out and kick it over the rest of, like, the last little bit over the line.
Yeah.
Contract Jake Stringer, he played well again.
In you know how the AFL video games over the years have been filled with bugs?
Yep.
In one of them, you could tackle your own teammates.
Yep.
That's a situation where I would have loved it.
Just tackled.
Spear tackled him after the fact.
Tackling your own teammates. That's like what's like those games where you have like friendly fire on, like the shooting games. You can shoot your team.
Yeah. I will say the media was like, oh, he burnt his teammate real bad and it was fucked. But then, like, watching it, like, Stringer's just like,
fuck you.
Fuck you. But then they're, like, laughing about it. Like, it's not.
They got asked after the game, too. They absolutely would have talked about it. And then after the game, they got asked by Abby or whoever was the dandy writer. And Langford was like, oh, yeah, you know. I didn't really realize we had the advantage. And then I kind of just kicked it and went, oh, okay. That's, you know, what we're part of it. I'm sorry, mate. And Stringer was like, ah, it's okay.
Yeah.
How many did Langford kick?
3.
Pushed him out of double territory.
Mm.
And Stringer kicked 2.
A dishonorable triple.
Yeah.
A dishonorable triple is very funny.
Xavier Dersmer again was fucking huge for us.
He had like 14 marks, something fucked like that.
13 marks, 4 tackles, 20 disposals, kicked 2 goals.
Been a while since I've seen the bow and arrow.
Oh,
and it was earned.
The second goal he kicked, the bow and arrow from the second goal, you know where that arrow went? Straight into Bevo's head.
Can I tell you something about the arrow? I hated it. At Port Adelaide?
Yeah.
Do you love it at Essendon?
I do love it at the Bombers.
I've always loved the arrow. I love it so much.
I feel like just with Essendon and the edge and like all, so any summer player does anything like that, you're like, all right. I don't know why, but sure, play on. Also, it's come out this week. Well, not come out. He brought it up in an interview that Jake Stringer is now exploring Islam.
Yep.
There was like photos of him in like traditional.
Yeah.
Islam.
He's like hanging out in the like that sort of that side of town. What's the place? Windy Hill, Essendon side of town. There's a big Muslim community in the west there.
Yeah, going to mosques and stuff. That's awesome.
He's just full Cat Stevens mode.
Yeah, he's I mean, it's working. Whatever he's doing to focus on his life and just get everything.
It's also a contract year for him.
It is also a contract year. And
those
Sean,
are the best years.
Hey, he's making a new contract with Allah.
Yeah. And also Sean. I reckon Jake Stringer's probably old enough that maybe every year should become a contract year from now on.
1 year contracts henceforth.
Yep.
If Brad Scott is worth any of his brain, 1 year contracts with like clauses. He has to kick over a certain number of goals to trigger the next discussion.
Yeah. I love that.
60 goals.
Yep. No, make it achievable. Give it like 40.
Yeah.
So he starts like a
goes up every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eventually he needs to kick 100.
Yep.
As a 35-year-old
does it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Harry Jones, after looking fucking awful in, I think it was the game against Sydney.
And the Port game.
Or maybe it was a Port game.
He had a few weeks where he just didn't quite get any.
He didn't look like he knew how to play football.
Yeah.
He was low on confidence.
Yeah, but this seemed to have lifted him up. Kicked two goals.
Needs to wear a headband, I think, though.
Yeah.
He's going for shots on goal, and he's doing too much of this.
Mm. Playing with his hair too much.
Yeah. And again, when I see Norton wear a headband, I don't like it.
Yep.
If Jones does, I'd get behind that.
I think if Jones wears a headband, it will look wild.
Mm.
Yeah, good stuff.
Shave your head, Harry.
No. Headband.
Shave your head. Headband. Who's that player for the Chicago Bulls? You know the guy I mean?
Yeah, I know the guy.
He's bald as, but he wears a headband.
Yeah, yeah,
a
little
sweatband. It looks so funny.
He's a very white man.
He's a very, very good player too. Very good defensive player.
He's a great defender.
Oh,
I can't remember his name.
So I wasn't at this game. I actually went to two gigs this night. The first gig I was at, I was there until just before halftime, and they had a big TV that was playing it. Second show, no TV. Mm. So I was just constantly checking the scores on my phone. Missed most of the... I didn't see the last like 5 minutes of the second quarter and didn't see any of the third. And watching the score go up in the last quarter, I had to excuse myself from watching a band to then fire up KO on my phone. It was just before Essendon got 43 points up and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And there was still 9 and a bit minutes left. And I was like, this is not long enough.
Mm.
Like, sorry, it's too long. It's not short enough. They could easily come back from this.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, what's wrong with you? And I said, I've barracked for Essendon for 33 years.
I understand this.
We called it for you, though.
We did. But I think...
But I felt comfortable doing it.
I think on Thursday night when Brisbane were up and there was 2 minutes left, Tom called it over and I threatened to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I told you off. I said, no, none of that.
Yep.
And revel in this.
And I doubled down. I threatened to kill him even harder.
Yeah. Well, Essendon...
Threatened to kill me harder.
I stand by that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
Essendon kicked something wild, like... It was like 9 of the last 11 goals of the game or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, really good stuff. If... I don't know. We're playing Adelaide and Adelaide next week. If we're a decent team, we should win. But maybe Adelaide now up good. I don't know. And then we've got Collingwood for Anzac Day. Jesus fucking Christ.
Are you going?
Don't know. No.
I had to look for you the other week, and it's not looking good, Joel.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because this year, for the first time in a couple of years, the teams will be close on the ladder. And that usually, it doesn't usually matter, like, even when they're first and last, it's still something. But yeah. Anyway, next game. This game was GWS take on St Kilda, and it looked really shit for a while. And then
to the point where I stopped watching and was doing something else.
I never watched it at all.
I watched the first quarter and saw the worst concussion I think I've ever seen in football.
I have not sought out a replay.
He's out of hospital, I believe.
They're treating it just like a regular concussion, despite how severe it looked.
But apparently... so it's his first ever concussion too, which I think is helpful. But apparently he's got like neck injuries, like the whiplash is the bad thing. But he's out of hospital. He's okay. He was conscious when he went to hospital. He does obviously have a concussion.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I wish him all the best, because Sam Taylor's a fucking gun.
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh,
big respect for that boy.
Yeah, I hope he misses 2 weeks just to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, just two to 4 or 5. When do we play?
It will be 2 weeks if there is even the slight bit of hesitation about his progress, because it falls on the 14th day.
Oh.
Also, Kingsley won't risk him.
Yeah.
I don't think. I think they've got the tools to patch it.
Well, I don't know, because they had to send injured players back onto the field in this game.
Well, so yeah, the other issue they had is Cornelia went down with a knee. It's not a full ACL tear, but he's going to be out for a few weeks.
They think 3 to 4 weeks currently.
Kelly will be okay to play, and I believe Briggs will be okay to play.
Yeah, we'll see. The injury report hasn't come out properly yet.
Just carnage.
I'm going to back Dr. Tom in.
Dr. Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those were the two players that went back on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't send them back if they were like not.
They were
be
benched for a very long time, though.
Yeah.
St
Kilda, they need to be better for longer, and they'd be winning.
Speaking of concussion, though, I forgot to say, yeah, Libba was concussed in the Essendon game, but cleared to go back on.
Yep. They never took him off.
He wasn't on the bench at all.
Not until way later.
No, so they didn't. He didn't trigger concussion protocols, so he stayed on the field.
He stayed out there for ages, and they finally got him off. Like,
and then they put him into concussion protocols after the game.
Yeah, and when they interviewed Bevo about it, he said, "Oh yeah, he tripped," and Libba was like, "Yeah, it was my ankle." And then you watch the footage; it's not his ankle. He leans forward, and then he falls face first.
Yeah, it looks
onto
really
the
bad.
It looks so,
like, and the Bulldogs should get in trouble for that.
Darcy Parrish looks like, so fucking worried. Like, he just keeps like going, "Are you okay?" And Libba's trying to push off him, like, "Yeah, I'm fine."
Yeah.
And Parrish is just like looking at him like, are you dead?
Yeah.
It's just got a bit of that Port Adelaide
big time to it.
I think they should be in trouble. Yeah. Dogs.
I think they should sack Bevo as punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find a coach who doesn't sweat on a cold night.
So GWS were in total control, nearly 40 points up at the start of the fourth quarter. But the final scores were 80 GWS defeats St. Kilda, so that's normal so far, 79.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked.
The last 8 goals, I think, St. Kilda kicked?
Yeah, it was fucked.
Like, they kicked 7 in the last quarter?
They kicked 6 in the last quarter.
They kicked the last 7.
No. They kicked... GWS kicked 3 right before the start of the last quarter, and then GWS kicked 1 again in the last quarter, and then St. Kilda kicked the last 6.
Jesus.
Cop that, Ross.
Yeah.
Again,
garlic breath, fuck.
You can't play nothing for a half, basically.
Yeah.
That's been the story of every game they've lost so far this year. They've had a lapse for a bit and have tried to play catch up and they've lost.
Well, they're just not good enough, are they?
I don't think so.
No. Look at that team.
Also, Max King fucked his knee up as well.
He's going to be okay, they reckon.
Potentially. You hope so.
I hate Ross Lyon.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
But if you say one thing about him as a coach, it's that he takes a somewhat mediocre list and like makes everyone play their best.
Yes.
That's what St Kilda is.
Brad Hill had, I think, the highest fantasy... Oh, no, he didn't have the highest fantasy score of the weekend. No, Sheasel did. Brad Hill, though, had 33 touches. 24 of them were kicks. He took 13 marks, laid 3 tackles, and kicked a goal and 2 behinds.
That's fucked. What was his score?
150.
Wow.
Marshall also went massive. A lot of kicks happening.
A lot of kicks. Was it Marnikas? There would have been a bit of a breeze.
Yeah.
Big kick game.
Yeah. A lot of premium players let me down this weekend, and we'll get to fantasy later. Next game. So, 2 games in a row, total winning margin, 3 points.
Oh. This game was psycho because Carlton had it in the bag.
Mm.
They would have had it sewn up. And then meanwhile, at one end of the ground, Carlton should have had it sewn up and kept missing. At the other end of the ground, I think Adelaide at one point were like 12-2.
Yeah, this was fucked Saturday.
It was fucked Saturday.
Big time.
Comeback Saturday.
Mm.
Carlton got, 50? Is that 15 points ahead? Or maybe 16? And then,
But they're the close game kings, aren't they?
Well, not anymore. Mm. And Adelaide lose close games.
I think I only saw the end of this game, which was beyond hectic.
Yeah.
There was, I think Carlton actually kicked like 2 goals ahead with like only like 3, like a few minutes to go. And I was like, okay, that might be the buffer they need. And then all of a sudden Adelaide just went bang, Rankin kicks a fucked goal.
Yeah.
They're suddenly back in it. And then Sam Berry just from fucking nothing.
Mm.
Meanwhile, the other end, you've got a drop mark from Mackay, and then Matty Owies just fresh edit, kicked the ground.
Carlton are a pretty bad team, I think.
Yes. The response of Tracy was normal.
Are they 4-1? Is that what it is?
Yep.
They're one of the least impressive 4-1 teams I've ever seen.
Well, I'm pretty sure their next like few weeks are big. So they've got GWS this week.
Fucked.
Then Geelong the week after.
Fucked.
Then Collingwood the week after, and then Melbourne the week after.
Who knows? All bad teams in that lineup.
And then Sydney the week after that.
Fucking hell.
And then the Suns the week after that. That's their next 6.
Suns is the hardest opponent there.
And then Port Adelaide in Adelaide after that.
Geez, that's a tough draw, actually.
Yeah. That's 7 games of fuckery.
Every draw is tough when every team is bad.
And then after that, the Bombers.
Fucking hell.
This is Carlton's
you
next.
You could kill a coach.
Kill
and
2.
Then, and then Bevo. Have a week off.
Yeah.
Then they play Geelong again.
I would love to kill a coach again.
Mm.
I'm still riding high off we gentlemen killed a coach last season.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Throw an axe at him, Joel.
I should.
Mm.
Next game. This was the shit one.
Oh, yeah. This is the free-to-air game. We're at the pub, and there were two games on TV, and I was
looking at this TV.
Said, boys, if you had to pick between these two games, which one would you say is the free-to-air one? And everyone was like, oh, Port Freo. Incorrect.
I think we were probably the only ones looking at that TV, but it was out of disgust.
Yes.
Yeah.
For Channel 7.
Yeah.
Gold Coast Suns won by 53 points.
Good on them. They need to do this. Build a bit of a fortress at People's First.
Terrible name.
Yeah. Was Will Graham on debut?
Second game.
Yeah, he
went big.
Yeah, and no. Let's not worry about fantasy big.
Tackles.
Let's worry about stat big.
He went monstrous.
So he had 8 kicks, 6 handballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's 14 disposals.
It's pretty good for a second game.
How many tackles did he have, Joel?
He took 3 marks.
Okay, yeah. Right.
And he laid 14 tackles.
Bang!
Holy Christ!
We have it. Balance.
Wow. 14 and 14. 14 touches, 14 tackles.
Will Graham,
well done, Will Graham. It's a very exclusive club.
People dream of reaching balance once in their career.
Yeah, and he's done a game 2.
Fucking hell. I can't wait for game 3.
20 and 20.
What was his fantasy score?
104.
Well,
just letting you know, he's a forward.
Yeah, good.
Holy shit. Also, speaking of new players, in their second game, Closey. Kicked 2 goals.
Welcome to the team, big boy.
Yeah. Listed as a defender. Kicked 2 goals.
Love that.
18 touches.
Yeah.
And this is a fucked anomaly because, like, you're like Finn McGuinness, Tagger.
Yep.
Just like real brat. Really annoying to play on. This week, even though Hawthorn got absolutely fucked, he kicked 3 goals.
Yeah, he played well. He was sort of the only one who showed up. They just got – Gold Coast just outworked him. Like, they just – watching highlights of it, and there was a clip of Sam Mitchell. He was losing his mind on the bench. He was flat. And in the press conference, his press conference was the equivalent of there's a few boys at the Hawks who need to start learning Tasmanian. Like,
he was like, my midfield, all cunts.
Yeah, basically, he just was like, no, not good enough. He said, I thought we were beyond this sort of an effort.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty damning. And I thought they were too. Like, they've been weaker but competitive in patches. They just got blown apart.
What do Hawthorn expect when they trade, like, the bigger bodied players, like the O'Meara's and the Mitchells?
I understand that. But based on the form of this year, they've lost games, but they've been competitive throughout them. They didn't fire a shot.
They're too young.
But Gold Coast are young.
And what's the leadership? They got a fuckhead for a captain.
True.
He also didn't fire a shot, I don't think.
He never does.
Joey fired a shot. Noah Anderson.
Oh, he's cooking.
He's cooking.
He is cooking.
I love Anderson.
Yeah.
Gold Coast, there's a little bit of magic unfolding.
That combo in the midfield of Tuke, Rao, Anderson.
Yeah.
That people are like, and so they should, froth in the Port Adelaide trio, which we'll get to in a sec.
Yep.
But that Gold Coast trio is just as juicy.
There's some good trios.
Yeah.
Geelong, I don't know if Geelong have a good trio, but other teams, trios are cooking.
Hey, look, we got a different trio. Our trio's in the forward line.
I love, Brisbane's interesting because there's, like, what is the trio? Neil.
Dunkley.
McCluggage.
Yeah.
And you got Chuck Rayner in the mix.
Ooh, good trio.
B.O.
You're counting the ruck. Okay. Yeah. In the trio.
Yeah, in the trio.
So that's wild.
Yeah, in the quintet.
Well, that makes us worse.
Speaking of trios, as we just alluded to, next game, Port Adelaide took on Fremantle, and it happened again.
Yeah, Freo must hate Adelaide.
Freo just hate being good at football.
Yeah, it was – they put in a really solid performance for most of it. Alex Pearce – he quietened the dick.
Yeah.
Until Ken stroked the dick to life. Did you guys see this at about three? It must have been 3/4 time.
Yeah. Good chat.
Just they fired him up. And I don't think Charlie appreciated that. A lot of media punters were guessing that it was like, you need to just not go, you're not the man tonight. And I think Charlie Dixon went, get fucked.
All right.
I've got the biggest dick in Adelaide.
Ken was basically reiterating to him that, like, you don't get looked after by umpires.
Yes.
So you just have to keep going. Do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as a big guy, it's hard for him to move. It's hard for him to change direction. It's hard for him to get like a free run at the ball without having multiple people grabbing him. And
so he just had to go, just clunk him, son.
Yep.
And he clunked 2 huge ones.
He said to pull the shorts down and
yep.
let it erupt.
Yeah. Let it erupt.
And look where we are now.
Great game.
Yeah.
Huge game. We were checking in on this one at the pub too. We watched the last, probably explicitly, we watched definitely the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. We saw the goal.
We saw the Dixon goal and the Jason Horney Francis goal.
Yeah.
That's a great kick from Rosie too. Just like, poof.
Good team, Port.
Yeah. Good team.
They're starting to cook.
They're starting to cook.
They are starting
They've
to
cook. They've got
look.
A trio.
They're in this awkward coaching position though.
Yeah.
Where like the assumption is that Ken's got, what, 2 years left, is it?
Yep.
So what happens if it's like Malthouse at Collingwood, where what happens if Ken wins the premiership this yeah. year? Then what happens? What are you going to do, David Koch? You fucking idiot.
Probably just be an egg-headed fuck.
Yeah. And also just on Port, because I don't think we addressed it because it didn't really come out when we're doing all the gather-round stuff. Finlayson, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I'm glad you got suspended.
Double it.
It should have probably been longer.
The AFL have done a kind of good thing, though, with
yes,
this.
Where they took their time and they consulted groups and they did the right thing.
So they
thing.
Were like, 3 weeks, but it will never be 3 weeks again.
Yes. Okay.
And they were like, if it happens again, it's going to get worse and it is going to keep getting worse until it stops entirely.
I think the big one, too, was they said he has to go to like a Pride in Sport program that he has to pay for. The AFL, like, you need to do that program before you come back, but you need to pay for it. And Finlayson said, yep. I think the main reason they went for 3 is because he self-reported it 3/4 time.
Mm. Like they said that they took all of that into consideration, the fact that he tried to make amends for it straight away.
Yeah. It's that thing of, though, they set a hard example on Finlayson. They absolutely fucked up by not setting the same example to a guy who's done it multiple times over and over again.
And
Clarkson.
Who finds me absolutely nothing too.
Correct. I think the AFL's got a long, long way to go in this space,
yep.
which fucking sucks, but they do because they're fucking cowards. Yep. And if you're one of those people on the internet who's like, you didn't even say anything bad, I will find you and I will kick the shit out of you.
Yeah. And
I'll fire you all. You're a fuckhead.
He will.
And you're a cunt.
He'll do it.
I back Tom in that. Yeah. I rarely do back Tom, but he's right there. He's spot
I almost
on.
Never back him.
Yeah.
But this time, yeah.
Yeah. I've been on a battlefield with him
before.
Square
up, cunts.
Yeah. also, I think Clarko will be out of the game soon.
Yes.
I don't think he can survive coaching a team this shit.
No.
I don't think he cares.
I don't think his heart's in it.
He likes money, I guess.
I think that last season, he was invested. Then all of the shit about him being a giant racist fuckhead came out. And then
he took time off.
Mostly to hide from that.
Yep.
And to avoid the media, because when he's fired up, he says stupid fucking shit. Yep. Exhibit A.
Homophobic slurs at the start of the year.
Before the games, like, I know that homophobic slurs are never... Like, but there is, like, no excuse. Like, there's no excuse already, but there is no excuse.
For a practice game.
Mm. It was like the fucking
he's
cunt from
form
St.
too.
Oh, yeah, he's got
cunt from St. Kilda, who, Jimmy Webster.
Yeah.
Weber.
Yeah.
Whatever Webster, fuck his name is.
Yeah. Weber barbecue. What are you
doing? Absolutely fucking a not. In practice game. Anyway, North Melbourne is shit, and they're probably going to stay shit until Clarkson goes somewhere
they
else.
They need to fire him. Yeah.
There are certain coaches who can't. Being and who just can't be in a losing team.
Yeah,
I think Dimmer is the same. Dimmer's lucky that Gold Coast are winning games because he actually can't handle the pressure of being a shit
again because he's already done it.
Yeah,
he battled so hard to get Richmond back up again.
Sean, do you know what Gold Coast are notorious for though?
Becoming shit again.
Second half fades.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens with him
because they're relying on him so much to be the face of footy up there, the spokesperson, and he's not the best. Person for that.
No, because he says
they need to win. They need to be good and he needs to be the happy Dimmer in his little press conferences.
Yes.
And Clarko can't do that anymore.
He will
not survive.
Clarkson has never been that kind of coach. He was just lucky that he was part of a dynasty.
I have another coach prediction. I don't think Mitchell survives either.
Really?
He'll be there for this year. Definitely.
They've backslid too far.
It's just like the rebuild coach doesn't survive.
Yeah, but they need
to see it all the time. How long are Hawthorn going to be shit for?
Fagan would be the only exception.
No, but he wasn't even like because Lepage was the rebuild coach, and Fagan came in still during the rebuild, but it wasn't ground zero.
True.
Do you know?
He had one bad season, right?
Fagan.
Yeah.
Fagan had. They won five, and then they came top four.
Oh, but the second year where they won five.
The second year was like they won five, but they had like 10 games that were under 2 goals or some fucked shit like that. Yeah. But like, it wasn't the start of the rebuild. Brisbane had already done it. And they said to Lepage, the board were like, hey, how long till we play finals? And he said, probably another 3 years. And they were like, 6 years, that's not acceptable. And then it took Fagan till his third year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly what Lepage said.
It's tough for Mitchell because Hawks are going to be shit for ages and they've already been shit for the first 2 years of his coaching career. So it's tough stuff.
And you're right. I was just doing the math in my head about rebuild coaches.
Yeah, that's
the only exception is Hinkley at the moment. Because he took over after Primus.
No, but they were awesome in his first year. That's the whole mystique of Ken Hinkley as a coach. He came into a like disgusting team.
That's right, he turned around immediately.
Bevo did the same thing, and that's why there's always and he won a premiership too.
Yeah.
So there's always this thing about Bevo.
Yep.
Yeah. It almost never, like, think about any rebuilding coach.
I went through them in my head.
I mean, Carlton went through heaps of them, but you always get someone come in and maybe do like a couple of years and then there's no real improvement. So they just get fired because it's just the natural cycle of footy.
Essendon have had 15 coaches in 3 years.
Yeah. Is Dimmer benefiting from Stewie Juice? Like,
absolutely.
Hard work,
100%. Stewie Juice, like, did heaps of hard work and nearly got to the point, but it just wasn't quite good enough. Plus the spectre of having the great Damien Hardwick.
If Hardwick wasn't available,
Juice would still be there.
Yeah. And Gold Coast would probably be doing just as well.
Yep, and they probably would have improved naturally.
Although I will say this, Hardwick's been way harder on just dropping. Like, he's made 9 changes in like a few weeks.
Yeah, like they, I mean, ultimately I guess they needed to change. But yeah, I've got bad feeling for Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
And a result that happens on what should have been a very boring Sunday probably puts a lot of pressure on Uze's fine. He's coached fucking 5 games.
Yeah, he will be fine.
But the shit teams look more shit now because of something that just happened.
Yeah. Well,
but before we get to that, Tom, you witnessed a murder.
I saw a murder. I was a witness to a murder. I've got a couple of things I want to talk about with this game.
Yep.
I'd
like a food report.
Food report. Sean, my dad again brought the hot dogs.
Yeah, saw the fattest Frank I've seen.
They were
in a long
time. Big fucking pumpers.
Thick boys.
Can I say delicious?
Yeah, they looked good.
I think they were made to look thicker because when I had my second one, because there's always two. This is the way it works. It's a bit like a Sith. There are always two of them. So with the second one, I noticed that the roll was really small, and I turned to my dad. I said, "Dad, did you cut a normal hot dog roll in half?" And
The picture you showed looked like a cut-in-half roll.
Yeah. I didn't realize on the first one, but on the second one, I'm like, you've cut these rolls in half. And he just went, yeah.
He juiced it.
And then he goes, more efficient.
Whoa.
What do you mean? He's like, meat per bread ratio.
I actually love this
as a theory. No wasted space.
Yeah. No, I want less bread.
Like a bit of bread. I like
a bit's good. I want the bread should never overpower the dog.
No. That's fair. But I don't mind the taste of like, you know, like when you're eating a hot dog?
Saucy bread.
Yeah. But you can have that with a half, with what Terrence
can
did.
Can I just say, I definitely got some saucy bread.
Yeah.
And as much as I made fun of him at the time, Terrence was both cooking literally and metaphorically.
I can't believe we didn't do hot dogs at Gather Round.
Yeah.
We really fucked up.
Well, we did.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We did a lot of
hot
food,
dog
though.
In a while. I got
to
get around.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier today on a podcast that someone else might listen to this, Can't remember what one, but at some point in the next couple of weeks, I'll probably mention hot dogs. No, it was recorded just before this.
Tell you what, I'm going to the footy this weekend. I'm getting a hot dog.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
Sean, I think we are.
I keep making a mistake of buying beers when I'm at the hot football and forgetting to eat.
Yeah. Got to get hot dogs, mate.
Yeah. Hot dog report.
I've got 2 hands. Sorry, I might buy 2 hot dogs.
Oh, that's powerful. Mm. So hot dog report, tick, tick.
Yeah.
Second report. I made an attempt.
Yeah, Milo ice cream, sorry.
Didn't go looking. Because I was busy looking for something else, Sean.
He's given up.
Friend of the show, Andy Savage.
Yeah, okay.
I tried to track down Andy. We tried to meet one another at the game.
Yeah. Yep.
And he sent me a very funny message that was just like, it turns out it's really hard to message someone at the football and then track them down when you don't know what either of you look like. And so
Andy Savage, fire up the Hagrid's Footy Pod Instagram account. Our faces are all over it.
Yeah, so look. But I didn't know what he looked like. I looked at his Instagram, and I think there was an older photo on there, and he doesn't look like Randy Savage, the wrestler. Okay. So that confused me.
Yep.
But no, so basically what was happening is
he looks better.
We're at the same – he does. We're at the same end of the ground,
mm-hmm.
and I could get reception when I was sitting up top where I sit, but as soon as I came down to try to find him, couldn't get reception. So the messages would only send when I'd be like, oh, well, halftime's now over. I haven't found him. I'll go back up. And then a string of messages would come through and I'd be like, I'll try again at 3:15. He'd be like, yep, no worries. Great. same thing had happened. So basically, we got fucked by reception. Now, Sean, you wanted to know, you wanted me to bring this up on the show because you wanted to ask a question about phone reception.
Phone reception.
The floor is yours.
I have an apology to make to my Brisbane group chat.
Whoa.
I've been meaning to apologize for this for ages, and it's a sad apology. On grand final day, reception at the MCG was utterly fucked. And I sent the group a message at three-quarter time of the grand final that was the image of our Brisbane Believe image.
Yep.
Because it was three-quarter time. I was like, one quarter to go, Brisbane Believe. The reception was so fucked that image didn't come through until after the game.
Oh no.
And I never explained it because I probably went a bit quiet in the group for a while. And I just want to apologize. That shouldn't have happened. That's a disgusting image to see.
Yeah.
After the game. And I meant for that to come through at three-quarter time. Reception at footy grounds is
bad. It's bad.
It sounds horrendous at GMHBA. You, honestly, it sounds like you both had reception while you were in your seats when you moved was the problem.
Yes,
that correct?
It was. So
why didn't you just agree on a spot?
Well, I did. Why didn't you just pick
like a food place?
I did pick a spot. The thing is, I'm trying to explain locations that he's not familiar with.
You're very familiar with their ground, though.
I was.
Hey, I'll meet you at the Joel Selwood stand.
Well, I just said, meet you at the top of your bay.
What row are you sitting in?
So I knew where he was. I said, go to the back of your bay, and I was standing at the exit to go down the stairs. But that message didn't go through. And then by the time I got back up.
Error, I reckon.
Is it possible that after years of belittling North Melbourne, and talking down to
Andy Savage wasn't even at the game.
Well, no,
he was. He definitely was.
Is it possible that Tom feared the fight in the car park deliberately?
I wanted to extend an olive branch because my team was murdering his team on the field.
Oh, there you go.
We're
witnesses to murder. So, yeah, Geelong pumps North Melbourne. Jeremy Cameron kicked six. Brad Close kicked four. Ollie Dempsey continued to look good. Shannon Neal kicked three, coming in for Tom Hawkins. Sean, we're talking about midfield trios. The midfield trio for Geelong on the weekend that was very effective was an incredible trio of Jack Bowes, Brandon Parfitt, Tanner Bruin. Tanner Bruin's putting together a juicy little season.
The future.
That's it. I watched this game. So no Dangerfield, no Guthrie, no Hawkins. A few younger
Hawkins
players.
Hawkins laid out, no respect for North Melbourne. But 100%. They didn't really earn that respect during the game.
They did not earn that respect. So we played a few younger players, and I kind of looked at it and went, oh, our future's not as dark as I think people are worried it will be. There's going to be a dip at some point, but I think that there's youth in there that actually they look ready to go. Yeah. Like Ollie Dempsey's come on and has played fucking unreal. Like Gary Rowan's fit.
Yep.
I don't see him getting back in.
Good.
Is he going to push out Dempsey and Henry?
Nah, stay dead.
He's not going to push them out. You got Mullen who got dropped this week too. He came back in. Mullen had 28 disposals in the VFL.
Yeah.
Like there's some Jed Buse can't get a game. He's fit. He just can't get picked.
Yeah, that's an interesting
one. It's wild. And we've got Toby Conway in the wings too for when Reece Stanley retires. He plays 200th game. There's a lot of juice out there. I have a question for North Melbourne supporters who listen to our show. It's on the Clarko thing.
Yep.
Do you think you'd be better without him? Is my first question. And two, do you think they need to start playing Sheasel on the ball? Because I saw him get the ball so much off half back. The problem is he's too far away to get it. Like, you want him delivering that ball into the forward 50, I think.
No, but if he's your best player and your best user perhaps of the ball and all that, I don't think you want to rob your halfback line.
I guess.
So important. You've and seen Kadeem Coleman come out.
The problem is he's the only guy doing it too. Like he gets the ball, he does something with it.
Well, he just needs Simkin and LDU and guys in the middle to lift.
They just went. Like the amount of times.
LDU was really shit.
North would do this thing where they'd sort of like chip it around to try to get around Geelong using like Sheasel and Fisher. And like they're their best two kicks probably in that back sort of half. And then finally someone would go for the long kick or they get it to the midfield and the midfield would go for the kick. And they kick it straight to like Jack Henry and Tom Stewart, and then it comes straight back. And it's like, you've played this slow style. I thought they were more, like they're going to lose by more in games, but I thought they were better early in the year when they were playing an aggressive game.
Confidence.
I think their coach is a shit coach who doesn't know what he's doing.
I would agree with that too.
Sack him. Get Bevo.
So usually we'd wait until the end of the episode for emails, but there's an email that ties directly into this, and it's
Andy
from
Savage.
Andy Savage.
Oh, beautiful.
Subject, Cats v. Ruse, an unbiased report.
Finally.
Ah, dear footy fiends, an unbiased report of Cats v. Roos. First up, sorry, Tom, couldn't meet up. My phone is cooked and would only sporadically get bulk messages randomly.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Appreciate your multiple efforts to meet. Next time for sure.
Yes. It was very funny. The funniest one was when I got a message from him and said, by the way, I look like this. No image. Walking home to the car, got a photo.
Now, Andy's email, whilst unbiased, is very chaotic.
Yeah.
Grievous Bodily Harm Stadium is a nice little stadium. But first up, my gripes. One, cheering sounds piped in after you kick each goal. A stadium of Cats fans, you shouldn't need it.
Yeah, they play like music and shit after a goal. Most grounds do that.
A cheering sound, though?
Yeah, I hate when teams do that.
A cheering sound.
Who did I hear that? Maybe Melbourne do it at the MCG. Because it's like suddenly it just cuts and then the vibe in the stadium is just shit.
Nothing,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I did actually have that thought watching Melbourne where I was like, geez, you never see this at a con.
It's, I will say this, Andy. It is better than a few years ago. We used to have a cat roar with a cheer and then someone who sounded a lot like Hamish McLaughlin go, "We are Geelong," after every goal.
I always thought it sounded like Gary Ablett.
It was before he came back.
I thought they just kept him around.
They kept his audio. Yeah. It was actually senior.
Two, playing an Irish...
Oh,
playing an Irish...
Yeah.
Wow, this is hard to say.
Irish shanty
yep.
song. Yeah, so can I talk about this?
Well, do you want me to read what it says first before
yeah,
you try
on.
And robot?
No, I hate it.
Let Andy finish.
Sorry, Andy.
Playing an Irish sea shanty after the Irish guys kick a goal. A surprise out of nowhere to the point where I had to ask the guy next to me what was going on. At first, I thought it was a Cats up by 100 points celebration. But now that I know the truth... I'll be honest. Feels a little racist to play a stereotypical song for all your players' heritage.
So, fun fact: last year when Zach Tui broke the Irish record holder, they played that at some point in the game to like celebrate him, whatever.
Sure.
They've then since played that song anytime either Tui or O'Connor or Mullen kicks a goal.
Weird.
And Tui has come out and O'Connor on the record being like, "Yeah, we don't like it."
Oh, okay.
And they're still doing it?
Well, that's shit.
And the crowd don't love it? Yeah, it's just weird.
What's going on, Geelong?
It's just a weird vibe. I don't like it. If you're going to play songs, do what Brisbane do. Play a song for everybody.
Yeah, let the players pick.
Yeah.
Other than that, a fine time if you ignore the scoreboard and North's ability to kick to Cats players regularly.
Yep.
Crowd was a little lackluster, but the game was over by quarter time, so it was to be expected. Hard to cheer the equivalent of Brock Lesnar bashing that one-legged kid in front of his mum that one time in WWE. Sorry for the long email. We'll get that beer next time, Tom.
Yep.
Love, half a coward, Andy Savage. P.S. When is How Good Thumb Cramps crossover going to happen with an AFL game? Well... I'll speak to the producer of Thumb Cramps and we'll see if we can make that happen, yep. Andy Savage.
Then we'd have to play an AFL game.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on at Geelong, and the Scott brothers should both shut the fuck up is something that needs to happen too.
Yes. Oh, so can I address this now?
Yeah, and then we'll talk about this because it sucks.
I'm firing up an email.
And then we'll...
My mum is considering firing up an email.
Yeah.
She should.
Then we'll talk about this. Then we'll talk about the next game because that's exciting.
Yep.
Then we'll read some emails and fantasy chat.
Sounds good. So this is going to be really quick, this segment. Fuck off, Tarryn Thomas. You're dead to the game. Just because people are like, but people deserve a second chance. This would be, I reckon, his 15th chance. And I saw someone tweet the other day that it is not a right to play football. It is a privilege. And I think he's lost that privilege.
Absolutely.
Like, he's fucked up multiple times. I don't want him anywhere near my fucking club.
Or my club, for the record.
And I'm drafting an email to that effect, and I was discussing it with my mum at the football, and she's like, I'm thinking of sending an email as well. She's like, I don't know if I want to be going to games and supporting that. And I'm like, I agree. She actually raised a really interesting point, which is a little bit dark and in the weeds of it a bit, but obviously Geelong are part of that like western region with Ballarat.
Yeah.
And this month there have been 3 women murdered in Ballarat.
Mm. Yep.
Geelong are kind of, Ballarat is one of our like feeding clubs for our women's program, for our junior program, all that kind of stuff. That's a really bad message for that western part of Victoria to send, to give a known abuser of women a 15th chance at a football club in an environment where women are like, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's just, it's fucking insane. I don't understand how we can have a women's program and talk about how like a great game about that
yeah.
and bring that into our club. I did him on Ross Lyon when they were talking about him coming here, and the comparisons to Tyson Seguin. And I will say this, Chris Scott was the only good point he made in all of this was he did make the point that the media need to stop comparing Tyson Seguin to Tarryn Thomas. The situations are completely different. Mm. Seguin's situation was alcohol and a few fuck-ups of that nature, of which he got a second chance at Geelong. His things are very different. Nothing Tyson Seguin did was harassing or intimidating or assaulting women.
Yep.
So Tarryn Thomas doesn't deserve a second chance because he's already had 15. Fuck him into space. I'll fight you in the car park too, cunt.
Well said, Tom. That's a great point from your mum, and I think she should write that in a letter.
Yeah, I think she's going to, yeah.
Because they are obviously brain dead at Geelong and they need to hear that.
Yeah. And Essendon, like,
from as many people as possible, to be honest.
I don't think they'll do it, but the fact that they're toying with the idea is a bit fucked.
Yeah.
I think that
I love my club, but I don't love them when they do shit like this.
What did you send the last email about? They were doing some
Ross Lyon.
That's right.
So I've sent two emails to the club, once about Ross Lyon coming on board, and another time when we were the only club that didn't post a message about Australia Day.
When was Ross Lyon going to come on board?
There was just rumours floating around that he was going to come in as, no, not as assistant, but like kind of like a guru footy operations thing. Ugh. Chris Scott's like, yeah, he's a great bloke. And I'm like, I don't want a guy who the reason he was not at his previous – look up why Ross Lyon isn't the coach of Freo.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. Can we talk about how good footy is now?
We can.
Great.
Because – well, actually, I don't know. Is this a win for footy?
No, no. Hey, Brandon from Canada, this one's for you.
Yeah.
So West Coast have looked fucking atrocious all year.
Except for the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yep.
Pay that.
Fair. But this week, they said, we got some good players.
No, Joel, you know what they said? They said, we're the Eagles, and we're here to show you why.
They also said the team we're playing has a fuck ton of injuries.
Yeah, depleted.
Like us. Yeah. Well, do they? The Eagles?
Yeah. They're still missing players.
Eagles?
No Oscar Allen. No
captain.
Captain. Yeah, no captain. There's a few like random. Like,
I stand corrected.
And also, all of their good players are now so old that they're bad. Yeah. They've got whoever's making their. Well, their list management has brain damage.
Is that the one that now works for Essendon?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Replacing the previous list manager who had brain damage?
He's still around.
Yeah. He's just floating around.
Let's go positive. I'm positive on this. Fuck, it's good to have a win.
Oh, absolutely.
It's good to have.
This is good for the game.
Good nourishment.
Jake Waterman kicked 6.
He looked unstoppable with his fucked haircut.
Bring back Alec! Why did we delist him?
Oh, but make a team of watermen.
Harley Reid. Looks good.
Elliot Yeo is back.
Yeah.
Waterman looked fucking good. Their backline looked fucking good.
Callie looked good.
You know, I watch Harley Reid.
Ginby looked fucking juicy too.
Yeah, he's
Bolton
hard at
kicked
the footy.
Three, who it doesn't really matter because it's Richmond, but still, three goals.
Fuck Richmond. They've had their time.
Yeah.
I watch Harley Reid, and I just think if you're going to go number one pick to, and this they normally go to a shit team.
Yep.
Baptism of fire.
But if you're going to go to any shit team, would you rather go to the Eagles? Because you just look at the crowd, like people over there just froth footy. They fucking love it. You're a gun player in a shit team that has a fan base that fucking
rabid.
Love footy. They're rabid. They'll get behind you. Or do you want to play for instance, say like the Gold Coast is a good example.
Yeah.
Gold Coast, shit team, no fans.
Yeah.
Small crowds.
Yep.
West Coast is not a bad place to be.
Yeah,
this is why people keep saying, as bad as they have been for several years, they have all the money in the world off the field. They have a huge membership.
They won a flag like 6 or 7 years ago.
Well, I guess like even the easier thing to compare it to is like, would Harley Reid prefer to have gone to West Coast or to North Melbourne?
Yep. 100%, not North Melbourne. Did you hear the crowd though when he burst out of the middle and either kicked the goal or he kicked it to like Waterman or Darling? Mm. They cheered louder, almost louder for that than they did for the final siren.
They love him.
Also, can I just say, he's fuck. Holy shit.
He's good.
The hype is real.
He had 27 touches and kicked a goal.
Kane Corn said the best thing he did was maybe a week or 2 weeks ago when he kicked that goal and he grabbed his Eagles jumper.
Yep.
And he's like, the people fucking love him now.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a masterstroke.
Yeah. He's playing him like a fiddle.
Yeah.
He's going to be a $6 million man. Basil Zemplis is going to buy him a house.
Mm.
Make Jake Waterman the coach. Mm. Captain, I mean. And the coach.
Mm. Oh, I like Oscar Allen as the captain. He's just injured. He's good. He's a good player, I think.
If you're injured, you're not the captain.
No. Who is the vice? Is it Brass?
Maybe. Brass is a good player.
Yeah.
Nah, it's someone random as fuck.
I like this. I actually want the Eagles to...
It's Liam Duggan.
I want them to win some games this year. It's good for the game.
It is good for the game.
Bring them back.
West Australia being psycho about footy is good for footy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who have they got next week?
Don't look.
It's the Derby.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Or derby.
So they're playing, they've just gone on a scoring frenzy, and yes, they're playing against crosstown rivals who can't kick goals.
And
but have the best defense in the world.
The in-form Alex Pearce.
Yeah, I think they're the number one ranked back line.
They would be, yeah.
Yeah.
He kept that penis under wraps for so long.
He's just a good player.
Australian Alex Pearce has got a nice ring to it, just saying.
Next round six is actually like pretty spicy. I know we don't usually like list games, but like Essendon's playing Adelaide. That is in Adelaide, which reminds me of 2019 when I went to Adelaide Oval. Mitch Brown kicked
on the hill.
Stood on the hill.
We've got the Haggers Footy Cup.
Collingwood's playing Port Adelaide at
Prison
the MCG.
Bar for the MCG. We will be going with friend of the show, my brother,
the Snake Man.
West Coast are playing Fremantle.
Hey, does Snake Man have a coach's jacket?
I think he does.
Yeah. I've often told you this. Port Adelaide and Freo
have
the best colours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to bring the round to a close, a beautiful graveyard end to the weekend. North Melbourne are taking on Hawthorn at Marvel Stadium at 4:05 p.m. on Sunday afternoon.
One of those teams will be 1-5, and one of those teams will be 0-6. And at this point in time, based on their performances of the weekend, I couldn't tell you which one.
I think that Hawthorn will beat North Melbourne by about 100 points.
That were pretty shit, Joel.
Yeah, but I think
if they stand for anything, Hawthorn win this game.
Easy.
Yeah.
If it's a close game, that still doesn't count.
If they love their coach.
Because their coach still gives a shit, whereas Clarkson I don't think does.
I forgot how spicy it was because of the coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mitchell will fucking body Clarkson.
Oh, Mitchell's going to have the biggest week of his life. He'll kill people
He's going to Mark Latham handshake Clarkson.
Oh, no, they won't even look at each other. They don't speak at all, do they?
No, they don't. No.
Mitchell's going to punch through the coach's box
Didn't
wall.
Did Clarko miss the game last time?
Yes.
He wasn't there for it. It was when Ratton was coaching him.
Fucking hell.
And Richmond have a week off, which they need because they've got no team left. Short is now also injured.
Yep.
Fucking hell. Wow.
Joel.
Tom.
We got any emails?
We do, Tom. I'll fire those up for you right now. This is from Tom.
Yeah, I sent an email.
Subject, a small favor to ask. Dear son, Tom and Sean, I have a small favor to ask. I'm sure you would at least consider it after I dominated, in brackets, locked out, against my new son, Joel, in the Stu Martin League. Joel, it's an honor. I've been eyeing off your high-quality team this season with great envy. I owe my win all thanks to Shees. What a huge payoff as captain. I feel emboldened to ask this. Please lay off, or at least explain, the hate for the D's. In 2021, you were cheering for them. They are 85% of the same list. What is a team of men to do against such reckless hate? Please explain. Yours in confidence, Tom. P.S. I look forward to giving Tom a bath next weekend.
I think it's easy why we hate the D's.
They won.
They won.
Well, yeah.
And good ones to fuck with.
They won, but also off field, Yeah. There's just some fuckhead behavior, really.
Also, Bailey Fritch is the richest looking fuckhead I've ever seen in my life.
I hate Bailey.
Just
I
private schoolboy energy through the roof, and I don't cop to that.
Yep. I think Cozzy Pickett needs to tuck his elbows in and stop being a psycho.
There are players at Melbourne I like. For example, I like Max Gawn. Big fan of Max Gawn. Mm. I like Ben Brown.
No, not for me.
Petrarca. He's got the charisma for his cooking show.
He does have so much riz, but Tom.
But there's a lot of players I don't like.
I like Clayton Oliver.
I like Ed Langdon.
Because my eyes don't like looking at him.
Fair enough.
I like Ed Langdon.
I don't think I like, about him ever.
I like Lever. I don't know why.
No, he's a fuckhead.
I get that, though. I can understand that.
Lever looks like he should be like a bumbling detective sidekick.
Yeah. He looks like Watson.
I don't like Stephen May.
No.
I love
Luke Jackson. Oh. Whoops.
I like Stephen May, but that was only because I ran into him one night and he was funny.
Yeah, that's true.
He won me over. Where Bailey Fritch was also there, made me like him less.
Yeah.
So my friend
got that for everyone.
My friend got a photo with Bailey Fritch, and that's a nice thing to do, but I didn't respect it. He had an annoying vibe about it. Mm. Where Stephen May, my friend asked for a photo with him, and Stephen May said, absolutely not, we're at a nightclub. And me and my friend went, fair enough, that's very funny.
Yep.
And he was friendly about it. He just made a joke.
Clever. Yeah.
I write that.
Yeah. I don't know. Just when teams win, you hate them.
That's true. You go off them. We hate Geelong.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know about that.
No, too much, we all three of us hate Geelong.
Too much success.
I love them.
No, I think we all hate them.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Collingwood could be 0-23 and I would still hate them.
Yeah.
And would celebrate every
loss. There's no comeback on earth for them. Oh. Well, Tom, I wish I had an explanation for you, but I don't.
Tom, not email Tom, host Tom, you were on Collingwood the year that they almost won the flag.
Yep. I don't think I was. There's
you
no
evidence. You famously tried to convince the entire listenership to get on board.
Because it's a good story.
Because you're a VFL boy and you hated West Coast that year.
I think the issue was I was seeing the world through Travis Varko goggles and I love that man so much. The only good thing to come out of Collingwood.
You shouldn't. He cost you a grand final berth one year.
That's okay. I'll forgive him.
I can't.
And the next email before we get to fantasy chat. Subject, I have missed this feeling. This is from Paul. Hey, boys.
I know who Paul barracks for.
Space feels good.
Welcome back, Paul.
After 5 years of waiting, I have finally got an Eagles membership.
Oh,
attending my first game of the season with high hopes, and boy, does it feel good to have the roast. Young guns are developing well, and it's nice to finally have a comfortable win. Haven't had this feeling in years. I do worry about our game with all the score reviews. It seems like the umpires have no opportunity to back themselves in. What is your opinion if the AFL introduce a captain's review like in cricket? Give them a set number of reviews for the game. If they're correct, you keep your review. If you're wrong, that review is lost. This allows the umpires to back their calls again whilst catching the most offending calls. Go Eagles, Paul.
Hey, first thing, Paul, welcome back to the land of hope.
Yep. Well done.
As for the review thing, geez, they've lost the plot.
Well, did you hear this thing where the AFL made a statement this week because the AFL bosses were really annoyed and they're like, we're doing this under your direction. You need to tell commentators and like the media and stuff.
Yeah.
And so a statement got put out where the AFL admitted that, yes, they had given instruction to the umpires to review if it's within X number of meters of a post or a player.
Well, that's crazy.
Yep.
Because as we know, every goal gets reviewed on the way back to the middle anyway.
It's almost like they're overcorrecting for a one fuck up one time.
It's terrible. Adelaide have ruined the competition again.
Correct. I think fold them.
Yep.
Get Norwood in, get their spot.
Norwood. There you go.
Yep. Done.
The Redlegs.
Red Leg Redemption. Great name for a fantasy team.
Do you remember that name?
I do remember that
name. It was one of
the
quiz questions.
I do, yes.
Yep. That quiz where you scored 0.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I would have scored 1 if I remembered how my buzzer went.
Do you want another quiz next week?
Yes, give us a quiz next
week. I'll come in with a quiz next week.
All right,
if you could send me a reminder on Sunday afternoon.
Now, and then Monday morning as well.
And also Monday morning.
And during the episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I regret talking Dusha down. He's going to come out explosive.
I'm going to read every AFL book on earth. I almost missed this.
You know that won't help you.
I know.
I'm writing the questions.
I almost missed this email, but I just want to say thank you to James, who sent an email that just said enjoy space, and James has made a photoshopped picture of, well, actually, no, it's not a photoshopped picture. It's just a photo.
Yeah.
And he's just added text underneath it. And it's my face on a satellite, And it just says, happening today, happy 33rd birthday, Joel.
Yeah, it's well done. Yeah.
Thank you, James.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Now, fantasy chat.
Yes.
My team, shit, but scored higher than your team this week, Sean, which I was shocked about.
I had a shocker. Injuries, McKercher, Saylor.
Oh, yep.
Just bad stuff all around, really.
I had injuries.
I still did well enough to defeat Tom.
Yes, you did.
Tom, who was...
It came
confident?
Down to Tom. It came down to Tom Powell.
No, it didn't. You fucking idiot!
What league did you play against each other?
Stu Martin.
Okay.
Didn't it come down to Tom Powell?
You kept saying that to me all weekend. It felt like it's going to come down to Tom Powell, and every time I opened the app, I was up by like 400 points.
See, my app wasn't doing that,
and I ended up beating you by I think over 200 points.
Okay.
Yes.
So it didn't come down to Tom Powell.
So Tom scored. The second lowest in the Stu Martin Stu Martin Redemption Cup.
Yep.
The only person that scored lower than him was his
dad. I won two or three games, I think.
How?
In other leagues.
You're being kissed on the dick by the fixtures.
I don't know, man. I tell you what I'm doing is I got to make some trades because there's players in my team that are performing like shit.
No fucking Tom, shit. There's players who aren't even performing because they're not in their teams. You've got Sexton on your bench.
I'd clear out some other chap.
Your bench made me sick when I looked at it on the weekend.
So, Tom,
don't look at it again.
Tom, how many years have you been doing fantasy? 3, 4? Because you guys did fantasy 1 year before I joined.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about fantasy and
Tom,
me is I get so bored.
Tom,
so fast.
You get bored.
I start thinking of juice. It's not there.
That's not. But wait, these are two different things.
You fucking idiot.
Looking for juice is the same way you tip. That's annoying.
That's what I do.
You're the most juiceless man in Australia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tom's
always on the quest for juice, man. I'm thirsty.
Yeah. What kind of juice are you looking for? It's like you're colorblind. And
orange,
it's actually water.
Apple.
Sean.
A nice red wine jus.
The Risky Reels Cup was started for a few new players to come in.
Yeah.
And to get a
few more
listeners.
I got him with red wine jus. He wasn't expecting that, Jew.
Tom scored the second lowest in that as well.
Tom, what the fuck are you doing?
What games did you win?
It is a bye round. But did you do that bullshit thing where you had bye round people scoring zero or something?
I didn't have the bench coverage.
Your bench is so fucked, I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Got Sexton? Why have you got a Ruckman who's worth $400,000 and doesn't play?
I thought he was going to play this week because Finlayson went out.
Get rid of him. You can instantly save $200,000.
I've
got to do other trades, though.
The value of your team, the total value,
is
disgustingly low. You're in the $17 million. What's the salary cap that you start off with?
I honestly can't remember.
I wish I could remember. As a comparison, my team is in the $19 million bracket.
I've had some.
We've had the same amount of money to spend five weeks ago, and my team's worth $2 million more than yours.
Sean,
what is going on?
So what's happened is I've tried to get some little cheeky smokies, and it hasn't panned out.
Okay,
hasn't panned out for me.
So I will say, Sean, you've done slightly better coaching than me. My team is worth $18.7 million.
Still. And $1 million more than Tom.
And I have 122 in the bank.
Juicy, juicy.
Team is, I fucked some trades up early and it takes a while to recover.
It's not too late for you, Tom.
I know. I'm coming back.
I got absolutely fucked in like this round. Although the one that stings the most in the weapons, I lost by 4.
Oh. Yeah. My greatest mistake is still burning me, which was trading Hayden Young out for Wanganine Miller, and it hasn't panned out at all.
I've got both. Oh, also, while we're talking fantasy, hey, everyone's welcome for that fucking Sarong tip that I also didn't take.
Well, I brought him in, and he's played. Yeah, he's dropped a bit.
He is shit, but also you can't trade premiums.
Yeah, he's lost.
You particularly can't. You need to fix your areas, mate.
I'm fixing them, mate.
Sexton better not be in that team next week.
You need to.
You can't have that amount of money sitting on the bench. The guy might never play again. Stop winking at me and actually absorb what we're saying to you on this podcast.
Because they're, Tom.
You stop winking. You don't listen. You're not listening.
Listeners of the show that would be unaware, you're probably like, oh, they talk about fantasy quite a bit in this podcast. And they've like, Joel and Sean at least, read articles and like, they've tried to figure out strategies. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm learning stuff just because they're talking about it. Tom is in the room with us every week. And every time fantasy chat starts, his brain just makes static noise, I guess. Why is there a $400,000 player on your bench?
I had to keep him because I'd do some other moves first.
Did you? You brought him in this week, though, right?
Who?
Didn't you just Sexton? Say that? No, not Sexton. The other cunt. The Ruckman.
I was going to trade him, but I had to make some other trades.
So he was no. Because the way you said that before,
I've had him from the start.
So you've had Jordan God. Sweet from the start.
Yes.
You've had. Okay, I'm just looking at your bench. You've got Daniel Curtin from Adelaide.
Yep.
Injured and hasn't played yet.
Yes, I know.
Why don't you pick another rookie to make money?
I had to do some
this
other shit
why your team's
first.
Worth $17
million. I had to do some
dollars.
Other shit first.
Toby Pink, what's wrong with him? Is he injured? Is he out?
He's
what's
dropped.
He's dropped.
He's dropped. So why is he in your team?
Because I had to make some other changes
Jordan
first.
Jordan Clark, he's a sub. He's not going to make money anymore.
That was only this week.
I've got him in my team. I shouldn't speak, but also.
I have Pink in my bench. And
he's
I still
got
have...
the Wizard Watson.
Yep.
Isn't he out forever?
I don't know.
You should have traded him. Cash that
I couldn't.
Money
I had
on.
To do other shit first.
Alex Sexton, worth a lot of money. You've got a player from Brisbane called Bruce Revel.
Yes, Sean.
You picked him because you liked the name and you liked the vibe of him.
Do you know why I picked him initially?
He won't play this year.
Sean, I need a loophole.
Unless a million people get injured.
I need a loophole
you
boy.
You don't need a loophole boy because your whole bench is loophole. Fuck.
Also, Tom, your yes. loophole player should probably be a West Coast player.
No, I want Bruce
It should
Revel.
Be Harry Barnett, the Ruckman, who's in the $200,000 range, not $400,000 like
so,
Jordan
Tom,
Sweet.
So, Tom, I don't know if... And
you
listeners...
fucking maniac.
Listeners, while you're listening to Tom... while you're listening to Tom get absolutely chewed out, that is also probably a handy tip that I don't think we've said on the podcast. But your best bet for a player that doesn't play, that you keep on your bench, either as a utility or wherever, so you can do a captain's loophole... You should look at the fixture every year, and there is often a team that plays majority Sunday games. This year, it's West Coast. So if you pick a West Coast player, dual position, Harry Barnett, he's a handy person to have on the bench because if you need to loophole, you've got until Sunday to do it. Tom's gone dead in the eyes.
You didn't even listen to what he just said.
He said get Harry Barnett. I've got to do some other
Why?
Shit first. Huh?
Why get him?
Because he's playing on Sundays.
You didn't listen properly. I'm taking my glasses off because I don't want to see the world anymore.
Hey, Sean. How good is it feel to win?
It's Tom. Hey, Sean.
Joel?
Is that you?
How good's footy, baby?
Footy's back.
Fuck.
Sorry.
Smells like gas in here.
Sorry to every fantasy coach because the premium midfielders, a lot of the popular ones, shitting
playing
their pants.
Like shit. Yeah.
I think
I had one of my premium mids score over 100 this week.
I didn't have a single midfielder score over 100 this
Jack
week.
Jack Steele, get him in. Well, it's too late. Should have got late. Him in 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, Tom Green underperformed, Miller underperformed, Rosie underperformed, Sarong underperformed. The only one who went over 100 for me was Butters.
Dacos believers who don't trade premiums and hung on to him.
Yep.
This is our week. He's back.
He's back, yeah. Is he in my team, Sean?
No, because you've traded
you
premiums.
Traded him. Yeah. Who'd you trade him for?
Huh?
Who'd you trade him for?
Doesn't matter. Don't worry about it.
I'd like to know who you traded him for.
I can't remember.
Sarong?
No.
Who was it?
I think Rosie.
Anyway, listeners, if you want to send us an email, hit us up at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at howgoodsfootypod. Or you can find us individually. I'm at douche13.
I'm at carney from 55.
I'm at the bottom of the ocean.
Stay there, cunt.
Or I shortly will be.
And until next week, good luck to all the fantasy coaches out there, unless you're playing one of us, in which case you can get fucked.
And go footy.
Good luck to all of your teams that are playing. It's very exciting, unless you're married for Collingwood, which obviously you should also go get fucked, and I hope your team never wins again.
Also, go buy some footy cards.
Oh!
Great idea.
Great call.
All I'm back!
Goodbye, listeners!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.